Thanks for tuning in to WHYY. I'm Avi Wolfman-Aaron, co-host of Studio 2, and this is a Studio 2 Extra. Have you ever stared at the Delaware River or the Schuylkill or the Wissahickon on a scorching Philadelphia day and thought, why can't I just jump in? Well, technically, it's against the law. And on the surface, the reason for that is contamination. But dive a little deeper, and it gets more complicated. Some activists actually think our waters are already more recreation-friendly than civic leaders want to admit. Journalist Kyle Bagenstos recently penned a piece for Grid magazine about the drive to make Philly's waterways more boatable, fishable, and eventually swimmable. And in that reporting, he uncovered some surprising ambiguity.
Historically, the concern has been human health. A lot of this dates back to the middle of the 20th century when you had a lot of industrial pollution in the waterways in addition to whatever else might go in there to a big city like Philadelphia as a sewage concern. So a lot of it has been about concerns about what people might be exposed to, pathogens from fecal matter, things you don't want to get into your body one way or the other by swimming.
And that's a legit concern.
Yeah, I think on its own, it is absolutely a legitimate concern. These things are in the environment. They are in the environment more in an urban area like Philadelphia. I think some of the question arises around, are the waters as polluted as they used to be? How often are they in the dangerous territory versus the clean territory? And could we potentially make adjustments to policy based on that?
We do know that prior to the middle part of the 20th century, people did swim in creeks and rivers in Philadelphia. I mean, give us a little overview there of how people used to use these water sources.
Yeah, I was pretty fascinated as part of my research. You know, I knew that used to be a thing before the invention of the modern swimming pool, that people would go and swim in their local waterways. The amount of color that I found while I was researching old newspaper records was really fascinating. FDR Park has a lake down there. And there's records from the 20s of thousands and thousands of people a day going and swimming in that lake. You know, our favorite native son or transplanted son, Benjamin Franklin, apparently learned to swim in the Schuylkill. Among his many other pursuits, apparently he was a big fan of swimming and first did so in the Schuylkill. And then you've got all sorts of things over time. You've got canoeing on the Wissahickon. You've got races, people swimming in the Schuylkill. I mean, there's a rich history, as in many areas, of people recreating in the waterways.
A dripping wet Ben Franklin emerging from the Schuylkill River. That's the image we wanted, Kyle. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome.
I did love that factoid, though. So there's been this policy in place for a while now, 50-plus years, that Philadelphia does not want you to swim in these waterways. But you're saying there's nuance there, that maybe the policy and the reality don't quite match up. Mm-hmm. So how might they not match up?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think if you just look at the reality, you know, probably the most infamous place that this is a pinch point in Philadelphia is Devil's Pool in the Wissahickon. Blanket policy, of course, is a ban on swimming there. You talk to most groups within that space, they're going to say, yeah, we agree with that ban. And yet, if you've ever been on a hot July day, there are hundreds of people coming in and out of that creek. So these things are happening right now. And I don't think anybody has a good sense of just the data on are people getting sick? Are they getting hurt? Are they drowning? We see these things when that people have drowned there. I don't mean to belittle the risk. But, you know, there's a sense of this is already kind of happening. OK, so there's that. And also when you start looking to see what kind of data might be available to take a look at the actual cleanliness of these waterways, it verges on just not great overall in terms of there's not that much data out there. But what little bit that I was able to find, there have been some research from Temple University who have taken a look at this in the past 5 or 10 years. And there are certainly suggestions that a lot of the time, especially when it hasn't rained, right, a lot of pollution comes with rain. It washes things into the creek. Pesticides, fertilizers, human fecal matter. You know, once that rain has stopped, these pollutants travel downstream, they clear out. And so I think there's a pretty good suggestion that in certain waterways like the Wissahickon, potentially even like the Schuylkill, the water might be clean enough fairly often to technically be safe to swim in under what standards exist.
Yeah. So if there are swimmable rivers and creeks, where do we think they would be? In yeah. Philadelphia, like which ones yeah. are probably the cleaner ones or data would suggest are the cleaner ones?
Yeah. Philadelphia has hundreds of old pipes that intentionally discharge human sewage into waterways when it rains. The pipes just aren't big enough to hold it all. So they by design overflow. So that's, really impacts waterways. I mean, Delaware and Schuylkill certainly subject to that. probably some research to be done on exactly how bad, for how long, and where. It can be kind of site-specific. Certainly the Wissahickon is one that is not influenced by combined sewer overflows. It is downstream from some sewage plants in Montgomery County, but they don't directly discharge sewage into the water. They do a pretty good job cleaning up, removing pathogens, that sort of thing, before the water flows downstream. FDR Park, another one not impacted, the lake there by combined sewer overflow. There are a lot of geese there, so I think there's a question of how much does that enter into the waterways. But another place where there has been some data performed in recent years that suggests it might be up to spec more often than not.
Yeah, and I guess the question becomes, is this about how icky it feels to people or how foreign it feels to people versus how clean these water sources actually are? I mean, how do you help us parse that argument?
Yeah, this came up a lot while I was doing interviews with advocates for more on water recreation. By the way, swimming is kind of like the big holy grail. I think people...
There are steps to get to swimming.
Kayaking, obviously, boating is one that's kind of that intermediary step. You're still pretty exposed to the water, but you're obviously not going right in it. I was getting the sense fairly strongly that they think there is a disconnect between public perception of how clean our waterways are, at least how often, and how clean they actually are or may be. Once again, I think data collection is a big part of this. I was really fascinated to learn from talking with Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. They technically kind of set a lot of the standards for smaller waterways like the Wissahickon about whether or not they're kind of meeting the criteria or not for safety. And they really kind of just shrugged at me when I asked them. You know, their data comes out very rarely. We're talking about maybe once in a decade they'll get around to testing a waterway. And they were saying they don't take enough data to really say if a waterway is clean and how often or not.
So no one really knows. So yeah. What is the argument that it actually is clean enough if no one knows? The advocates are looking at some sort of general trajectory and then guessing, I think, that the waterways actually are kind of clean, or some of them are.
Well, I think there's been enough data to suggest, you know, I mentioned the ones in the Wissahickon, I mentioned the ones in the FDR. It kind of feels like recently when people have taken a close look at this thing, it's like, oh, this is actually seems to be a little cleaner than we thought. And actually potentially clean enough to safely recreate in under current guidelines. You know, the Philadelphia Water Department, people might be familiar, they are doing fairly regular sampling, modeling of the Schuylkill around this issue of like precipitation, of the how clean it is, to let people know red light, green light for boating on the waterway, for kayaking. So, you know, there is enough data out there, I think, that suggests, it certainly lends evidence to, that these things could be safe to swim in or to at least boat in fairly regularly. How often and where? Those are the kinds of questions that you need more data, I think, for.
But the advocates think that there's a branding problem here and that the city or that government officials are somewhat responsible for that branding problem. Yeah. That people have basically looked at these waterways and said, yeah, no one's ever swimming in those. It's not even a worthwhile goal. Meanwhile, they're saying, like, if you reorient your thinking, there's way more possibility here. Is that basically what, do I have that right?
I think about 25% is that. I think 75% is where they want to get to. Okay. So I think already they're saying, we already think we might be able to do a little bit more with what we've got now. But what they really want to see is an effort to get even further. People might remember from the Olympics this past cycle, the Seine in Paris, they did a big effort to clean that thing up. They got pretty close. It probably wasn't super safe to swim in for a lot of those athletes, but they're getting there. Washington, D.C., another big concerted effort to try and get to an actual swimmable waterway. Chicago, they know the joys of being able to step out of a city and right onto a beach and swim there. That was after a long concerted effort to clean up their waterways, especially the local sewage. So I think advocates here in Philadelphia look at that and say, that's what we want, right? We want a more concerted effort. You know, it's two sides of the same coin. The city, they feel the city doesn't want people to know maybe about the waterways now or want to advocate it now. I think because they're concerned the city doesn't want to do the really big heavy lift to get to those other places that I just
They don't
named.
Want you to know we're close. And that was some extra investment we could get there. Yeah. I mean, so why invest, I guess?
Yeah.
To make these waterways swimmable, given all the other priorities.
Yeah, that's the multi-billion-dollar question. And I should say, the Philadelphia Water Department did speak to me for this story and kind of gave that nuanced thing of you know, look, we're not against this. You know, we like clean water. We're not against people getting out there. But we've got a million different priorities to be dealing with. Lead pipes, you know, aging treatment plants. Water bills are already going up here. You know, we kind of have to draw a line somewhere. And so now you get into a difference of opinion, right? How important is this? How worth our, scarce dollars here in Philadelphia is this? Once again, I think the advocates would go back towards it should be higher prioritized than it is now. I was interviewing.
But why? Like, what's the argument? Like, how does, if I'm a city official, how does making FDR Park or some part of the Wissahickon swimmable move the city forward?
Yeah, I think it's a quality of life question, right? So one of the kids that I interviewed in the story, she volunteers for a nonprofit called Discovery Pathways. They do a lot of boating things down in FDR. She's a teenager living in South Philly who basically said, like, this was her access into the natural world. She had never thought about this kind of thing before. She was cramped in this, row home in South Philly. Then she discovers, my God, I can just go over to FDR Park and put a boat in the water. And that leads her to fishing. That leads her to hiking and kind of opens that, unlocks that world for her. And I think as somebody who came from outside the city, such as myself, I'm from Berks County originally, a rural area where we could take our pick of creeks and lakes to go and splash around. And I mean, there's just something very exciting, very reinvigorating. I think people also look at the question of knowledge about our waterways. I spoke with a lot of students as well who said this kind of opened their eyes to litter, to pollution. I mean, you look at Mayor Parker's initiatives right now, Clean and Green. This goes right hand in hand with this idea of wanting a greener city. So I'm starting to sound like an advocate right now as I'm speaking, but this
well,
is,
I asked you to make the argument.
That is the argument, yes.
And what's the price tag for all this to get to a place where, let's not say every river and creek is swimmable, but some are?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, it's in the billions for sure, according to the Philadelphia Water Department. I kind of asked them, if you guys were going to try and help get our waters to a place where you could swim in everything. They're already spending billions on their combined sewer program right now. It'd be more. So we're talking about in the billions. Then you have all of the other costs. If you're going to put in new facilities, you're going to put in boat ramps, you're going to put some kind of swimming area. You're going to staff it with lifeguards. We're already having trouble getting lifeguards right now for our pools.
Yeah.
You're talking about a lot of things potentially put into place to make it work.
The drive toward swimmable or boatable or fishable rivers, for you, what bigger story does that highlight?
I mean, I think it's just about trying to keep people connected to the natural world. As an environmental reporter, take your pick of things going on right now. Climate change hanging over everything, but traditional pollution, people inside their homes looking at their screens, this idea of what do we want from the natural world? How do we want to interact with it? Do we want to be a part of it, or do we want to have it as that thing happening out there? Getting pretty out there, I think, for a question about swimming in the Schuylkill River.
No, but it's relevant, I think, because we're talking about connection, and I think we're also talking about the idea that city and nature can coexist instead of you live in a city and if you want nature, you go somewhere else to find it.
Yeah, and totally. I mean, people leave the city to do things like kayak and swim, and I don't know if they need to. And I think, too, just as somebody, like I said, I has been blessed with opportunities my whole life to go out into the outdoors. I know what it's like when you go out there and disconnect for a couple hours. I struggle to hazard a guess on how many Philadelphians have never had that kind of experience before. And that's why I think it's a pretty powerful argument when you see kids like these 14-year-olds I'm talking about in South Philly or in Frankfurt or whatever, finally getting out and having that experience and going, oh, wow, I love this. I want to do more of that. This goes in hand with those opportunities.
Is there a city waterway that you would swim in?
I'm going to get myself in trouble here. And it was really funny.
I'm not saying you have. Would you? After all the reporting you've done, is there a place you're like, yeah, I'd take a dip there?
I trail run in the Wissahickon quite a bit. On a hot summer day, I would love to indulge with a swim right in that creek. And it's so funny doing this reporting, talking to people in this space. How many, can we go off the record for a second kind of things? Yeah, when we're done boating the Schuylkill, we always jump in for a refreshing dip. Or, when the sun starts to go down, we go out and do this. And so these things are happening, right? So the idea that we're just kind of trying to ignore them in a way, and I have to say, I don't heard a lot of reports about the city coming and dragging people out of the water. This stuff just kind of goes on under the radar, look the other way, sort of thing. And I think that's why it's so interesting to bring this conversation out into the light, because it's already happening. So it begs the question, what are we doing? How unsafe is that really? If it's unsafe, should we be doing more to stop it? If it's not unsafe, should we be doing more to do more of it?
Well, Kyle Bagenstos, off the record, if you're ever having a cookout picnic along the Wissahickon and there might be some swimming going on, just send me an invite, okay?
Okay, all right.
I'd be interested to check it out. That was Kyle Bagenstos. His recent piece in Grid magazine is titled Back to the Water. I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and this has been a Studio 2 Extra. Studio 2 is produced by Paige Murray Bessler, Debbie Builder, and Andreas Copes. Al Banks engineered this podcast episode. Our executive producer is Kevin McCory. From Studio 2 at WHYY in Philadelphia, I'm Avi Wolfman-Arendt, and thanks so much for joining me.